do this to you. Father, it's once again, Lord, that we come to give your name the glory, honor, and the praise, dear Lord, to say that which thus have called us to say on this day in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'd open hearts, dear Lord, that you'd open understanding, dear Lord, and speak to us, Lord, that which you would have us to do this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There's a calling on your life. You have been called. You have been chosen. God has called you to a work of his choosing. It is vital that you yield to God's calling. It matters not where you live, what you know, what you don't know, what you've done or what you haven't done. It matters not whether you're rich or poor, tall or short, in pain or in perfect health. It matters not who your parents are. It's not about your education. It's not about your race or your looks. Your age matters not. God has a calling on your life. You have been chosen, and there are no excuses. No excuse that you can give God will validate your rejection of God's calling and his will for your life. Your calling may entail just a day, a year, or an entire lifetime. You were called from your mother's womb.
Yes.
Let's give a basic definition of scriptural calling. A scriptural calling is a vocation or a way of life that you believe comes from God. It's a divine calling from God, a summons that does not necessarily take into consideration your wisdom or know-how. It's more than your occupation, and it's not about your abilities apart from God.
Amen.
Simply said, it means to accept and fulfill your God-given purpose in that which God has called you to do.
Amen.
It means that you are set aside for a purpose greater than yourself. God has an assignment for you, something that you were created to do. You've always felt or known there was something different about your existence, something about yourself that you couldn't really pinpoint, a presence that was with you. Maybe you were never told about God, but something deep inside has been drawing you. There were moments in your life that you knew someone was looking out for you or over you. God, in those times, was revealing himself to you.
Amen.
Maybe you talked to God as a child. God reveals himself to us even before we understand who he is. You know in your heart that there's something that you were meant to do, more than just a job or a vocation. Something deeper that has you nagging, that has been nagging you. You may be happy, but just not fulfilled. That feeling of God's destiny, of his calling within you, you were created for a specific reason. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago." Everything about you is designed specifically for a destiny that was created just for you. God puts a longing in your heart to do what he has called you to do. You will find that when God has a calling on your life, you have a heart, a genuine care about people. It might be for the poor, the abused, the outcast, or children who have been neglected. It could be any number of situations, but there's a burning inside that causes you to desire to do something about it or to bring relief or comfort to those situations. God's calling always involves people and God's desire to deliver them and set them free. Matthew 20:28. And the New King James says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many, so is the calling on your life to serve."
Amen.
In the capacity where God has summoned or called you to do. You may think that surrendering to the call of God on your life will be a hardship, will tie you down or take away your life that you planned for yourself. Matthew 16:25 says, that as you lose your life for the sake of others, you will actually find life.
Amen.
When you yield to the calling that God has placed on your life and in your heart, your attention and focus will begin to move off of yourself and unto God, and that he who has called you to bless and help people will be your primary focus. When you surrender to the calling that God has on your life, you'll begin to experience joy, peace, and happiness like never before. When you know that you are walking in the calling of God for your life, there comes an exhilarating freedom that will blow your mind. There comes a tugging from God when you may be looking at the news, viewing the atrocities of war, the crimes and the violence in the world, the faces of the neglected little children, the homeless. Your thoughts turn to God and you start wondering, how in the world can I help? You just may be called to war as an intercessor, day and night, fasting and praying every chance you get. Intercessors are one of the most precious, vital, much needed, and important callings of God that there is. Will you turn down your plate? Will you turn off the TV? Will you give up that early nap or that midnight sleep and yield to the voice of God, summoning you to pray? You may just be on your way to work early morning, on a long drive, watching the sunset, saying to yourself, there has to be more to life than this. Then your thoughts turn to God because you know that something is missing in your life. Yep, you guessed it. It's the task that God has placed before you, before the foundations of the earth. It's God's calling on your life. You don't have to run to the mountains searching for your purpose in life or wait for the big booming explosion in your backyard. It's simple. Just say, God, I know that you've called me to do a work. I'm ready. I yield. Speak to me, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. God will then begin to unveil, reveal, verify, and speak into your spirit with clarity that which he has been revealing to you for some time now. Amen. This revelation will bring such peace, refreshing, and joy that you have never experienced. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When God unveils your destiny, everything about your life will start to make sense. You will understand your calling in terms of what you went through growing up, the hardships you may have encountered in school or on your job. It may have been the extreme love and care that you received from your parents. Perhaps your calling or your destiny is based on the love and care you yearned for but never received. These types of situations or circumstances were not by chance. It was in many cases what God needed you to do in order to allow you to go through those things for the development and grooming of the high and weighty calling that he has placed on your life. Now, as many of you are recognizing, it's all making sense. You are valuable to God. You are needed by God. You carry a seed of greatness within you. You were born with God's nature. You have his DNA. When we don't answer God's calling, we tend to say or insinuate that we know better than God does. God will not call you to do something without providing you with everything that you need to accomplish that work. Did not God provide a ram in the bush in the thickets as Abraham was preparing to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice, just as he raised a knife to slay his son? Some of you, and you know it, have been called to be advocates for the elderly and the sick that live their lives in nursing homes and hospitals day after day. They have no visitors. Family has forgotten all about them. They see no smiling faces. They do not get calls, flowers, or cards. No one says, I love you, or tells them how much Jesus loves them. For the most part, they're met with frowns from the staff because they need help or can't feed themselves. You just might be the catalyst that God uses to show them that he cares. You're energetic. You've got a big smile on your face. And so much of God's love is in your heart for those in need of that personal touch. Your personality may touch the hearts of those that are working there, and it may change them to actually service the people that they call to work for. Amen. Proverbs 31:8-9 says, speak up for those that cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the right to the poor and needy. When God has a divine calling on your life and you choose to obey it, you have been chosen, ordained, and called to make a difference in someone's life, maybe in your church or in your neighborhood. It could be on your job, in your family, in your state, your school. In short, You make a difference in the world in which we live. The way in which God orchestrates your life guides you to your purpose with a sense of urgency. There's a tugging in your soul, and it's a self-knowledge, a duty, it's a knowing. God calls people to himself, as the scripture tells us. However, this call is no casual suggestion. This call of God is so inspiring, so on point, so undeniable, and so commanding. It's a summons that only requires one response, and that response is yes. Amen. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. We know that our first calling by Jesus is to give or surrender our lives that we might be saved and become followers of Christ. That's our primary calling. Our secondary calling is to become a stabilized disciple of Christ, an effective witness of the gospel. Yes. In our obedience to answer the call of our lives, the enemy will quickly come and try to take us off course, the course that God has called us to. John 16:33, in the Message translation, it reads, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. In short, you will have trouble, but Jesus has already won the battle. God has been grooming and preparing you all for this work for quite some time now. You have been gradually growing and moving in the fulfillment of that calling. God is also, on occasion, speaking to you about that calling and verifying it through other means. Several voices compete for our attention. So you might ask the question, how do I know if it's God that I'm hearing? Sometimes relatives or friends may offer advice in terms of what you seem to be called to do based on their observation of how you handle certain situations. Sometimes your pastors, your spiritual advisors, or even prayer partners may say something that catches your attention. You might say, I've heard that before somewhere. God visits us in dreams, thoughts, and visions. He sends words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy. One of the surest, clearest ways to hear God's voice in terms of what he's calling you to do first is to spend quality time with him in prayer,
Amen.
Seeking his guidance. Wait on God in silence for him to speak to your spirit. Spend time in worship and praise. Acknowledge to God your sincere desire to obey that which he has called you to do. Jot down scriptures. Songs may come to mind that verify what you may be called to do. Songs that keep coming and coming over again. Impressions, dreams, visions, thoughts that keep coming over and over. These are just mere suggestions. They're not cast in stone for any individual. Know for sure that as it is written in Jeremiah 29:13, New Living Translation, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me.
Amen.
God has summoned you, has bid you to yield, to respond to his calling. He has summoned you to act on what he called you to do. A calling from God is a divine summons. You are being summoned to stand before the king. When God calls you, there is no way out. No excuses will hold. God has a purpose for your life. Will you yield? Let's look at some of the people who God placed specific or special callings on their lives. Genesis chapter 6, verses 13, 14, 17, 18, 22. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without pitch. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Thus Noah did according to all God commanded him to do. We all know the story. Noah was called to believe God, build an ark in a land where it had never rained, The people had never seen rain and didn't know what rain was about. He was called to save humanity. Abraham was called to leave his home and establish the people of Israel. Genesis 1, 2, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's house to a land I will show thee. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you." Jonah was called to go to Nineveh and urge the people to repent. Jonah 1 and 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me." Moses was called by God to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Let's take a look at Exodus 3, 7. "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Verse 10, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Esther was called of God to save God's people. Esther, a young Jewish woman, finds the favor of God with the king. She becomes the queen, and she risked her life to save the Jewish people from destruction. She called her people to a fast, asked the king to spare her life and the lives of her people, even at the risk of being put to death. Esther chose to have faith in God and to obey her calling. In answering our callings, Psalm 32:8 reads, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you." Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God has promised to provide us with everything that we could ever need to answer and to obey his calling. It matters not how long the assignment is, what the assignment entails, where the calling leads you, or what the conditions are that you're called to operate under. Samuel would be called to become a prophet, even though he was just a boy. God called him at an early age, as he had a plan for him. God called him four times, and he thought Eli was calling him. When Samuel realized and understood it was God who was calling him, he followed Eli's instructions and replied, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." Samuel's calling was to anoint David as king of Israel. 1 Samuel 16:3. God was patient with Samuel as he is with us while he's waiting on us. Church, there are no excuses that we can offer God suitable to exempt us from having to obey God's calling on our lives. We must not take lightly the role God has called us to advancing his kingdom. We should consider it an awesome privilege to be an ambassador for the Lord. Amen. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul prayed that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. This scripture clearly references God's will and calling on your lives. God's calling on our life is not based on the things that you've done or haven't done. In spite of our shortcomings, our mistakes, or misjudgment, God's calling is still there. He has a divine plan for you. You will not always be able to figure it out, the work or the assignment in its entirety. If you could, then you would need faith in God. For the most part, our callings operate in the realm of the supernatural. It's not your plan. It's actually God's plan for you. That's a calling on your life. As I was listening to God, I kept kind of bugging him, as he know I'm his child and he knows how I operate. I started asking him about a month ago, "What is it that you want me to talk about?" And then he would say, "Wait." And then I would go again. And I'll go in and again and again. And finally, I guess about a week ahead, he finally told me what he wanted me to minister his people on. And in the midst of all of my little notes and everything that I was preparing, I had papers everywhere, he says, "I've got a letter that I want you to write to my people." And he does that quite often. It's our words in the form of a letter that's given from God. So I had to put that aside and get on this while I was still hearing him. And he just speaks, and I write. And this is what he's saying to you today. Have you not blatantly stood in my face, in my presence, denying that which I have called you to? I've said time and time again, come to me, I have a work for you to do. You've said, no, I can't do that. I don't have the time or the skills. Have you not put your wants, wishes, and desires ahead of my calling on your life and decided it can wait? Have you answered my call, said yes, and then haphazardly went about your assignment with no zeal, no prayer work, and absolutely no joy? Have you just accepted the call, considered it a burden, and therefore continued to just go through the motions? This too is a disservice to me. Have you not recognized the grave darkness and the wicked state of the world and the times in which you live? Times of every evil imaginable known to man. All around you there are murders, robberies, scams, thefts, overdoses, kidnapping, torturing, threats, homelessness, sickness, disease, job losses, fear. Do you not know that it's only by my grace and my mercy, holding on to you and yours, that you have not fallen into some of these situations? But yet you have still knowingly ignored my calling on your life to stand in the gap, building that hedge of protection. Do you not remember my word telling you that the prayers of the righteous availeth much? Have you not pondered what role I called you to, destined you to serve in, that would combat, annihilate, stop in its tracks some of the evils of these dark and horrible times? Yet many of you sit comfortably, smugly in your warm homes, enjoying your recreations, while my people live on the edge of death, depression, destruction, and wonder, is there any hope? Where is God? Have I not visited you in dreams and visions, called you auditably to get your attention? However, you only chalked it up to be just a dream or your imagination. Ezekiel 22:30 says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God has put out a summons on you. You have been called, set apart, chosen to do a work for the Lord. Amen. There's a calling on your life, and it's from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If there are any at this time that recognize that they do have a calling on their lives, and they've been denying God, they've been just shrugging it off, they've been telling God no for a long time, but they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's something that God has called them to do. We ask at this time, if you're ready to yield your heart, if you're ready to say yes to the Lord, if you're ready to answer that summons, we ask that you come up in order that you might get prayer for strength in order to do the work that God has called you to do.